Welcome one and all once again to a very special Duoloden mini cast setup. Martin's come back from GamesCon this week, and we figured instead of just kind of, there's a lot of news coming out of GamesCon, and there's going to be a big normal podcast this weekend with all this stuff from Sony and Microsoft and everybody else, but we wanted to get him to kind of come on and give his impressions of games he got to see or play hands-on and his newfound addiction to Sky Endish. So, I mean, GamesCon was kind of the second big coming out for the major platforms and stuff like that. So we're going to kick it off by talking about what you've seen from Microsoft and Sony at this show. I guess since they didn't have a major presence for us, what did you see from Microsoft?
I didn't actually get much of hands-on time with Xbox One games. Talking about first-party stuff. When it comes to first-party stuff, I actually only played one game, but I looked at a couple of others. Wait, no, I played two games. The first game I played was Killer Instinct, and I got super lucky. I went in on the press day and got actually the station with arcade sticks, because there are only two stations with arcade sticks. And the guy they got in with me, I don't know, it was a real lucky streak. The guy who got in with me, he was a fighting game tournament player. So we both were like, okay, you're really into fighting games? Me as well. Great, let's do this. So no one was shushing us out at any point. So I think I played Killer Instinct for an hour straight. Going through.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, I will say, from my experience, that's a very big thing to do at a convention.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And if I didn't have to go on to something else, I probably still could have stayed there longer. they had the characters that were already announced, Sabrewulf, Jago, and Glacius, and the new guy, Chief Thunder. I think he's now called Just Thunder. I played with all of them. And first thing I have to say about the game, I think it looks really good. There's a lot of nice particle effects flying around. And some of the animations are really, really nice looking. And already, just with those four characters, we were like experimenting with the different moves and how the combo system actually works. I'm not that familiar with the original Killer Instinct. For me, that always was like kind of a bad game, I thought.
I never thought it was a bad game. It's more of kind of a flashy fighting game. It's more like it was always set up to make you look cool when you were doing stuff. Because, you know, you get like 20, 30, 40, 100 hit combos and stuff. And it does like no damage.
Yeah. And this game still has like huge combo potential. I mean, I did like, for me, I think the biggest combo was like 45 hits, which is still a lot in fighting game terms these days. I guess Marvel might be outdoing it. I'm not quite sure. And I think it's really interesting that some of your special moves are considered like starters. So when you start hitting buttons, then you can do a specific special move, and that's going to start your combo. And then you can, again, hit buttons, normal attacks, but that pushes your opponent further away from you, the more hits you do. And then you can use linkers. That's other special moves you have. So when you can link, that usually will get you, again, closer to your enemy. So then you can do, again, normal attacks. And then you can link again, theoretically, as often as you want. Problem is, it fills up a bonus damage bar. And the higher that gets, the easier it will be for your opponent to hit the combo breaker window. So at first it's a really close window, and the longer the combo goes, the wider that window actually gets. So that's a way that they prevent like infinite combos and stuff like that. And then they also have special moves that are considered enders. And if you hit those, you get the bonus damage. If not, your enemy actually gets health back from the combo, which I thought was really interesting. That's something I haven't seen in other fighting games.
It's like a I could be mistaken. I feel like the Injustice is something like that. I don't know if you got help.
Oh,
I
haven't played that much Injustice. So I couldn't tell you. But yeah, that was really cool. And you could already tell just from the few characters. I found one I gravitated more towards. For me, it was Saberwolf. He's like the total rushdown character, which was really fun. You could like do a quick claw attack, then basically jump to the other side of your enemy, then continue the combo or fake it out, jump two times and stuff like that. A really fun character. Jago is basically kind of your Shoto character. So if you're familiar with Ryu or Ken, then Jago is probably the best guy to start with. He's pretty easy to get into, just fire for ball motion, stuff like that. Then Glacius was more like a keep away character. So he had like moves that he could like call ice from above or send out an ice copy of himself that could like hit the opponent who's farther away. Or you could even freeze your opponent when he is at a specific distance. Kind of like if you played MK9, Scorpion has like this move that which can set your opponent on fire. Kind of like that, just with ice. So he's more of a keep away character. I thought he was pretty hard to play. But I had the toughest time with him. And then Chief Thunder is basically a grappler. Like Zangief or something. But I think to be considered a grappler in this game is kind of weird, because he still had a lot of other offensive options, like doing like this tornado spin with his axes to get close, and then you could start a combo and then link into your command grab and stuff like that. For a grappler, he was surprisingly easy to get into. Actually way easier than the keep away character Glacius, which is normally what I like to play, keep away character, but yeah, that was something that was interesting to me. And yeah, the developer also, there was a developer there, and he I asked him about like how the combo system works, but how I can actually explain it to you in a better fashion. And also how the combo breakers actually work, which is, at first, because I'm not that familiar with Killer Instinct, I wasn't quite sure. I thought I would have to hit the punch and the kick button of a corresponding strength. It's a six-button game like Street Fighter, to which the combo move is coming from. So if he's doing like a light combo move, when I thought I would have to hit the liked buttons, but that's actually not the case. You basically use the buttons that are the next lower. So if you use a liked attack, use the heavy ones to combo break. If it's a heavy attack, use the medium ones. If it's a medium attack, use the liked ones. That was something you would have to get used to. But then it turned quickly into pretty fun matches with the guy who was... I mean, he was a tournament player, but he was new as me. So we were kind of experimenting back and forth. And I think this game is actually really good. At least from what I've played, this could turn out to be a pretty good fighting game.
Okay. I was going to say we'll have more on that this weekend, though, when we talk about the business side of it.
Yeah, let's just ignore that part. But from a gameplay part, I think it's a really fun game. I watched some Forza 5, which basically all I can say is that it looks really good. I think better than Drive Club, which I can guess I can come to later. Really good looking game. The other thing I tried was... actually, Zoo Tycoon. Personally, I totally forgot the game existed.
I didn't know it existed.
But yeah, they're making a new Zoo Tycoon for the Xbox One.
And that was the other major first-party title they had on this day?
They had also Rise, but the problem was there were just two stations, and even on press day, there was like a two-hour line, excuse me. And I don't think Rise was worth it looking at least not from what I heard from one of my other colleagues. Let's just say that. So Zoo Tycoon. Yeah, it's a tycoon game where you build your own zoo. It's actually a really intuitive controls, I thought, which was nice on a gamepad. Like, you could, like, pick, not cages, but the places for your animals. Can be like a savanna type or a jungle type and stuff like that. Yeah, and then you can adopt animals, get male, female, actually breed new animals. Stuff like that. You have to try to keep the visitors happy. It really is like a tycoon game in the sense of Roller Coaster Tycoon, just in a zoo setting. What I thought was nice, though, were like the nice fun touches that you could actually explore your zoo from a third-person perspective and could like take pictures from the animals because they have sometimes some really cute animations, and drive around like a crazy man with your cart, because all the people somehow are able to jump out of the way in the last second. There are like other stuff. For example, the developer showed me at the elephant place, there was like the option to clean the elements with like a water hose. And because your animals also have to be cleaned from time to time. And what I thought was, again, that was one of the cases where I was experimenting with it, how the elephant would react depending on where you would shoot him with a water hose. Like, if you, I think, went into the belly direction, you would, like, pull up his one of his front legs to be like, oh, yeah, down there, that's nice. And stuff like that. They're doing some cute stuff with the game. It looked like it could be a fun time. Still some frame rate issues though, but like with most of these games, we're still early, so that's usually not stuff that will probably be fixed for the final game.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know when it's out?
I think that's also supposed to be launch, as far as I know.
Okay. So did you get a chance to see anything? I know those are the two you played, but anything you got to like check out?
Yeah, I played some other 360 games, but they are third party.
Okay.
Xbox One games, so I'm going to talk about those right now. One was Call of Duty Ghosts. Yeah, maybe I should talk about the controller. I actually got to play with the new controller, of course. And I was kind of disappointed. They made one improvement and
they made 43 improvements
and two things actually got worse.
What would it, well, okay, let's start with the improvement first.
The improvement is the D-pad now is great. It's actually a D-pad, not a disc thing, and it's really nice and clicky, so there is shouldn't be any more complaints about the D-pad. So that's a big improvement, in my opinion, because the 360 D-pad is complete garbage.
What did you think you thought they broke, then?
The sticks are super loose. And it wasn't just one gamepad, it was on all the gamepads I tried when it comes to Xbox One. Really loose sticks. They were, like, loose, like, in the way the PS3 sticks are loose. Maybe even worse.
Huh. I haven't heard anybody mention that before.
Yeah, it's nothing like the 366, which have a certain stiffness to them, which is actually pretty nice when you play a first-person shooter, for example. And I thought, like, the sticks on the Xbox One pad were really loose. So that was something I didn't quite like. And the other thing was, that's not really that bad, but I felt like the triggers were kind of mushy. Just didn't feel right when you were pressing them in at times. I don't know how to really explain it. But I've been thinking about maybe it's because they are actually supposed to have this rumble feature in them, but that wasn't activated in any of the games I played. So maybe that might factor into it.
Yeah, I mean, I could, It could also be that these are kind of the prototypes, and that's probably the ones they've been using since like
E3. Maybe, but they were actually at, for example, the Zoo Tycoon and stuff, and Forza. Those games were actually running on real Xbox One hardware already.
Well, I meant like, I assume Microsoft isn't providing too many controllers for these events, so it could be that they've been reusing them. And
maybe, but as far as I know, there weren't too many real Xbox One consoles at E3.
Okay.
So, I don't know. We will see come November, but that has been my impression so far of a controller. When it comes to size and weight, it's pretty much like the 360 gamepad. Not much of a difference. So, when it comes to that part, that's just fine. So, yeah. Next up, Sony, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, Sony. Maybe I talk about a controller as well at first, so I can compare them. I think Sony this time around made the better controller. I really like the way longer handles it now has. When I'm gripping the controller, like my pinky is actually really gripping the controller still, and it's not like flubbing around. So my whole hand actually is gripping the controller, which is really nice. Feels nice. It's slightly heavier, I would say. The sticks are stiffer than the PS3 gamepad and the Xbox One, from my experience. But not as stiff as the ones from the 360. So it's in between those, I would say. Also, the sticks now have this certain concaveness to them. So if you have like sweaty thumbs in any way, you shouldn't anymore get in any way off them, no matter how hard you try. And the triggers were actually really nice because they no longer are the convex like on the PS3, also concave. And they went, I would say they have as much, maybe a bit less give than on the PS3. I mean, how hard you have to actually pull to get them completely in. Because that's something I don't like about the 360 pad. There's a lot of pull potential on the triggers, actually, which is pretty nice for driving games, but for other games, it sometimes feels weird, I think. And actually, that's also the case for one pad. It's now way less pull potential.
How is the touchpad?
Oh, the touchpad, yeah. I actually only had two games which use it. It's clicky. Like, I don't think they intend you to just tap on it, but actually click it. It feels like the clicking is like on a MacBook touchpad. It feels like the clicking. It's not too hard to click in, not too easy. So that's okay. And the touches were actually pretty responsive. I quickly tried out War Thunder, the free-to-play World War II simulation flight sim. And they could use like a mouse cursor thing in the menus to quickly get to specific options, so you don't have to go through all of them. But with a D-pad or something like that, you could just quickly get to some stuff just by moving your thumb quickly over to the touchpad, and actually felt really responsive. The other game it uses was Blacklight Retribution, the free-to-play shooter. And there, I wasn't quite sure. A colleague told me that you could also give orders depending on gestures you do on it, which I think is a pretty good idea. And the other thing I noticed was when I swiped to the right, I could quickly bring up the score for my game, and then swipe to the left, and the score was gone again. That might not sound like a big thing, but if you have all the other buttons already in use, having gestures for this stuff is actually kind of clever, I think. So yeah, this that controller, top notch, I think. Sony did a really bang out job with this gamepad.
Did you get a chance to check out anything with the PSI? I know they had that.
No, sadly not. I did not get to play with any of that stuff. I think they had the Playroom stuff, but I didn't try that.
Okay.
So when it comes to games, I already talked about War Thunder. Yeah, free to play, flight sim. Seemed nice. It's from Gaijin Entertainment, the guys who've been doing like the EL2 Stormovic game for consoles and stuff like that. So it's pretty realistic, but still fun to play and free to play. So not trying it out. You can just try it out when it comes out because it's not going to cost you anything. So that's actually pretty nice. Blacklight Retribution. Seems like they're bringing completely the same game over from the PC. Controls felt nice. The only problem was the frame rate wasn't really stable, but the developers told me that they are totally aiming for 60 frames per second solid once launch comes around. It's just not there yet. Need some time. What else did I play? I saw DC Universe Online running on PS4.
I didn't know that was coming to DC Universe. I mean, yeah. I didn't know that was coming to PS4.
Yeah, it's also coming at launch. There are another free-to-play title. They have a lot of free-to-play titles that are coming at launch, I just noticed. DC Universe Online basically looks like the PC version. Totally fine. And already I thought the controls worked well on PS3. I just think the performance is pretty abysmal on PS3.
Yeah, it's kind of rough.
and on PS4, no issue at all. What else was there? I saw Warframe. Also free to play for first-person co-op shooter. Also already out on PC, at least in the beta version. I already played on the PC with the gamepad, so I knew that part would work, and also did there, and looked nice. And that game, these devs seem to be pretty far along, because that also ran really fine. I think that was running at 60 frames per second, I'm pretty sure. That ran mighty fine, so another good game to look forward to. A lot of good free games, really. They have some quality free-to-play stuff. Next up, I only watched people playing Assassin's Creed 4. I wasn't that interested, to be honest, to try it out. It looked like a lot like the same, to be honest. And I'm kind of burned out of the third one. But what I can say is that it looked really good. They are making good use of the next gen hardware. It's not this shitty performance as it was on the last one on PS3 or 360.
Well, you mentioned Drive Club, so I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, Drive Club. I was mostly disappointed by how it looked, to be honest. I don't think it looked as good as the trailers at all. It looked kind of sterile and not very exciting for a game that's not going to be a simulation, but more of an arcade racer. And I don't think that's a good thing for an arcade racer. The driving itself felt fine, but yeah, that's basically it. I don't think, so far, I don't think it's special in any way. It just doesn't stand out right now, I think. I'm still going to try it out once PS4 is released, because you get the PlayStation Plus version of it, so
which is a good marketing tool.
Yeah, so maybe when I play that version and more have more options to try out, maybe that will convince me to get the full version, but right now I wasn't really convinced.
Yeah, and again, we'll talk more about this over the weekend with them racing it so close to GT6.
What else was there? I watched NAC. I didn't play NAC. But I have to say, seeing actually extended playoff neck, the game now seems better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, it looked actually pretty fun from the extended stuff I saw. They had like running demos with a pretty long demo actually to play for everyone. And it actually looked kind of fun, I think. The trailers and stuff so far have not really impressed me. I don't think it's an impressive game, but it looked fun. It's something that's probably going to be totally fine for a launch game. Let's say it that way. What else? So Octodad, still crazy, still totally crazy game. It was the stage where you have to go to a wedding altar and stuff, and don't let anyone notice that you're an octopus. And yeah, that game is super fun and really funny. Really looking forward to that one. It's kind of a bit like you basically control yourself with the button with the two sticks and move your limbs that way, and the shoulder buttons are basically modifiers for which limbs you are going to move. It seems at first weird, but you get into it. And actually, it probably isn't supposed to be the way that you're totally going to master it, because kind of fun is that you're going to fuck up and ridiculous stuff is going to happen with physics and how you interact with the environment. What else? I played a bit of Hohokam.
What is Hokum?
Hohokam.
Hohokam. Okay, yeah.
That's another indie title. And you asked me what it is, I played it, and I don't really know. It was this, when I had headphones on, this one was kind of relaxing music, and I was controlling with the stick this line which has an eye at the end, and was going through the environment, interacting with stuff, and then were stuff things that looked like they were evil, but I couldn't kill them, and was almost like just so. It seems like it's more an experience kind of game. It's not really supposed to have an aim. I was looking at the description under the screen, and it said like, Hohokam is an experimental game that's supposed to let you roam free in this sandbox of color and sound, and that was kind of the thing that was the description, and I was playing it, and I don't really know what to think of it, to be honest.
Yeah, so to say, that doesn't sound like that sounds like one of those trippy experiences, like it's a Serenity thing.
Yeah.
Where you get to relax in peace and relaxation with these kung fu pistas.
Yeah. Then I saw someone play a game called Contrast. That's another indie title, downloadable game, where you basically, you seem to play this woman who has to traverse the environment by actually, basically the game uses a lot of shadows, and the thing is, you can basically transform yourself into a shadow on bright light. So it plays with a contrast thing, so you can turn to a shadow on light parts, and then basically walk or interact with shadows that are projected on stuff. So you have to think about, basically, you're traversing in a 3D environment, but then at times you have to basically rethink in a 2D way, because you are also trying to traverse over 2D objects, because shadows are 2D. And that seemed interesting. I didn't get to play it. I just watched someone play for like 5 minutes. But that could be an interesting game, I think. And the last thing at Sony was, there are two more things, but the other one was also from a third-party publisher, so I'm just going to work. The last thing was the new game from the Super Stardust guys, and I always forget the name. It's retro something. Help me out here, Earl.
I am terrible with game names, but you talk about it and I'll try to find a name.
Okay. It's again a score-based shooter with like driving techno beats under it and lots of really nice lighting effects and so on. It's like one of those.
Oh, is that the game they're giving out with PlayStation Plus, Resnogun or something like that?
Resnogun, that's it, right. Resnogun, not Retrogun. Resnogun. Yeah, that's it. If you remember in Stardust, you were moving basically over planets. In this game, it's kind of like an old school 2D shooter, a vertical one, but you are on, you're basically flying along a cylinder. You're basically moving left to right in a cylindrical way. And enemies can come not just from one side, but from both sides. Then you have to look into how you do combos and how you use your bombs. And when I saw the control scheme on the screen, I was really confused by one button. Because the description was, throw human.
Okay.
I don't know what it's supposed to be, because I tried to throw human, it did nothing, but I'm curious what it will be in the full game.
Well, it has to be to throw humans. I mean, it would be funny if you just picked one out of your pocket and tossed it somewhere.
But yeah, that's totally game for people who like score-based shooters with pretty graphics, lots of stuff going on. Basically, if you like Stardust, this game will also be something for you. I'm really looking forward to it already. And like you said, that's also going to be free with PlayStation Plus. So, that's probably a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad deal. What, $4.50? You can start off with two games, a new system.
Yeah, I mean, you for 1 year of PlayStation Plus, you don't even have to get a year. I mean, in the first 3 months, you get like,
I think if you pre-order it, you get 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. And on launch, you will get Drive Club PlayStation Plus Edition, and I think Resnogun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course you can also play all those free-to-play games, which is also an option.
Yeah, but again, I guess we'll discuss more of the business side on the proper Dual World then. So anything else from Camp Sony while you were there?
No, the other stuff was, there was some repays with third-party stuff, so I'm not going to talk about those.
Okay. So that will do it for this section with Microsoft and Sony and all that wonderful next-gen stuff.
Yeah.